Good morning, North Counties. It is awesome to be together. It's awesome to be here at Paramus Catholic High School together, worshiping God and praying and listening to the great sharing and great preaching and opening up our Bibles. It's really cool being out in the lobby, seeing the preteens, the young teens out there. It's really just great to be together. I did want to just say thanks again to our Kids Conviction Corner speaker this morning, Jaden. Jaden Rocket. Amazing. He talked about the most important thing and then led us in that really great prayer. And it's really great to have the kids here with us. And you know, it's never too young to have conviction. It's never too young. You're never too young just to really have deep beliefs and to know that God is with us. Know that God really wants to move in us and through us and use our lives for great purposes. You know, it's really cool because as you look into the Gospels, you see that the Jesus Revolution was ignited and fanned into flame among the youth, among the young people. And in fact, you know, if you look in Mark chapter 1, it's interesting because Jesus is calling these young men, men like Peter and James and John, who became world changers in their day, world changers in history, but these men were teenagers when they were called. They were, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old. And it's amazing to see how Jesus trained them and how he taught them to live extraordinary lives, even though they come from very ordinary backgrounds. Today we have two young men who are going to be speaking for us. At this point in our service, we're going to be preaching the word to us. And it's going to be incredible. I wanted to read this passage, though, just to kind of introduce this time. It's in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. You know, it's interesting because in the Gospel of Mark alone, the words at once or immediately are written over 20 times. That these men had a dream, Jesus had given them a dream, and they weren't kind of, you know, laid back about it. They took advantage of it, and they saw, wow, Jesus and God, they've got something great for us. And they took hold of it, and they went after it, and they became bearers of good news, of great joy for all people. And I really just want to hold up the teenagers and the college students among us. We need you guys. We need your energy. We need your zeal. We need your sort of sincere, kind of simple faith. And I really want to encourage you, never stop dreaming of being world changers. Never stop dreaming of being revolutionaries. It's kind of cool because even in the Hope video that we just saw, we saw Mark Pereira and Cheryl. Well, Sue met Mark Pereira as a college student at Boston College when she went there. And it's incredible just to see what just kind of one invitation can do. Or one conversation can do, you know, one young life can do to not only shape a person's life, but to shape a person's family, to shape a person's marriage, to shape a person's impact on the world, to shape even a nation, because they've made great impact as he works as an engineer and leads a church of over 300 in India. It's really, really cool to see what God can do in our lives as he helps us to become fishers of men. This morning, I really want to urge all of us to not sort of sit back and just observe, but to be ready to leave our nets and at once get up to follow Jesus. He's got great plans for us. He has plans to prosper us, as Beverly shared this morning. He has plans and dreams for us to live full lives and for us to flourish and to thrive. So this morning, we're going to hear from Kyrie Gilchrist and Vinny DeLuca from the campus ministry. They're student leaders among us. So let's give them our attention as they bring the word of God to us. Let's welcome up Kyrie with a lot of encouragement.
Good morning, church. Good morning. I'm grateful to be up here, to be sharing this message with you all. I'm really thankful. I'm humbled by this opportunity. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Kyrie, like Steve just said, Kyrie Gilchrist. I am a senior at Montclair State University studying music therapy in a 5-long-year program. I serve and help lead the campus worship team, and I serve as an intern and for the campus ministry for the church. And I am learning to cook. I am not the greatest cook, but I'm learning. Okay. So if you got any tips, any ideas, come see me after. I'm learning. But on behalf of the campus ministry, I just want to say thank you to all of you guys, because you guys have been here for years, and you guys are pioneers of faith for us in the campus ministry. And so we're just really thankful for your example, for your love, and for investing in us as a campus ministry. We're truly grateful. In the campus ministry, we've been studying out a summer theme called Equipped, based on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And so Vinny and I thought it would be super fitting for us to share a message with you from our theme called Equipped. The title of our lesson is Equipped with Motivation. Equipped with Motivation. Vinny and I are excited to share what God has put on our hearts. And a lot of these scriptures are kind of our home scriptures, our anchor scriptures, scriptures that we go back to day in and day out that help us in our walk with God. And so my point this morning is simply grace motivates. And Vinny's point, he'll come up and talk after. And his point is motivated to be our best, right? We're motivated by grace, and then because of that, now we can go out and be our best. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll jump in here. Amen? Father God, Dad, thank you so much for just your love. Thank you so much, Jesus, for giving us the best life that we could ever imagine. Who knew that, you know, that the price that you paid on the cross bears so much fruit for our lives, God, and we're just so grateful. Lord, I pray that as Vinny and I share, God, that you can completely move us out of the way, and that the Holy Spirit can move, and that you can help us to say what you want to say, God, and that we can go off our notes if you want us to go off our notes, Lord, but I pray that you just speak through us in a powerful way, and that people can leave with new convictions, inspired, and ready to be changed. But we love you, God, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have a question for you guys. What motivates you every morning to get out of bed, to completely deny yourself, right, and to follow Jesus? We all know that discipleship is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart, right? Jesus said that if anyone is to come after me, right, that the cost is everything. To live the life that we are called to, there has to be some type of intrinsic motivation. Wouldn't you agree? So let's turn over to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look at Paul's life, and Paul is going to be a recurring theme in our message. But as we know, Paul was a bloodthirsty Jew who was after trying to kill the Christians, right? And he's on the road to Damascus, and Jesus stops him and changes his life forever. So let's pick up in Acts chapter 9. Verse 15. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." Amen. Right? So, Paul was called by Jesus himself, chosen by him to have a completely new identity, a new purpose, a new motivation. No longer was Paul the murderer, the Jewish vigilante, right, who thought he was doing the right thing in God's name. Paul's prior motivation was killing followers of the way. That's what they called him in the book of Acts, any Christians, right? Killing them, arresting them, and using his Jewish zeal to enforce his convictions. But Paul goes from being an enemy of God, a sinner who deserved death and punishment and imprisonment, to God's chosen vessel and instrument. And the only thing that mattered now to Paul was that he encountered Christ. And that changed his life on the road to Damascus. Paul had a new motivation. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was without effect. No, I worked harder than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul identified himself through the lens of God's grace. He did not deserve to be an apostle, right? Let alone a disciple of Jesus. But he worked from his new identity. He worked from his new identity found in the grace of God. And that led Paul to becoming the very man that we admire so much. Amen? Church, very similarly, right? You and I, we have been called by Jesus. If you are a disciple, then you have been called, you have been chosen, and not only that, but now you have a completely new identity, right? And Jesus, an eternal motivation. You are no longer who you used to be. No longer do we regard one another from a human point of view, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? Do you believe that? Do you believe that it pleased God to call you out of the darkness and into the light? You and I were chosen to be recipients of God's love and grace before the formation of the earth. That's what Ephesians 1 says, right? That this was God's plan all along for humanity. Why? So that we could experience the fullness of his love. There's absolutely nothing that you or I could have done or deserve, right, to have God's love except sin. That's it. Brothers and sisters, that's our motivation right there. Grace motivates. It was freely given not just to save us, but to also be the driving force for our discipleship. And for those of you who understand this and are letting that drive your relationship with God, amen. Praise God. Right? But far too often what I think happens, and this happens to me too, is that we get so focused on doing and doing and doing, right? And trying to accomplish the work of a disciple without the proper motivation. And then what happens is that we get burned out, we get bitter, we start comparing ourselves with our brothers and our sisters, right? And then we get discouraged when we don't measure up. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Right? Because I've been there. And it's an ugly place to be. It's exhausting. It's tiring. And I wasn't motivated by the grace of God when I was there. I was motivated by people. The grace of God never changes, but people do. It's a very scary time. It was a very scary time for me in a very scary place to put my everything into people instead of God. But it wasn't just me. This is Satan's schemes. This is Satan's lies. We got to remember that we're in a spiritual battle. That's what Satan does to us. He manipulates us into questioning our call, our identity, our purpose, which of course then will completely take away our motivation in Christ. Satan knows that, hey, if I can get the disciples to believe that they have to measure up, right, that they have to perform to earn God's love, then over time, I'll steal the joy of their discipleship, right? If I can guilt people out into thinking they are not good enough, they don't measure up, then they will never reach their full potential as a disciple. That is Satan's aim for each and every one of you out there, right? Satan works hard to lie to us about our identity, about our motivation. But Jesus said in John 10:10, he warned us about this, that the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he himself came to bring life, and life to the full. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 2 through 3, and we're going to talk about, right then, what's the opposite of that? You guys with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. Paul says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, you are loved by God and that he has chosen you." So Paul is writing to this church that he planted, that he started building, but honestly, he couldn't really stay that long, right? Because he had to go somewhere else. And he says something to them that's profound. He says that, right, the leaders remembered before God their work that was produced by what? Their faith. Their labor prompted by love and endurance inspired by hope. And that one day, right, Jesus is coming back. Then he continues to say, right, brothers and sisters, that you are loved by God because he has called you. These disciples worked hard for the gospel, but it wasn't because, right, anything other than the grace of God and that prompted their faith, love, and hope. You see how that all connected together? right? This is the recipe of hard work for Jesus, that our motivation comes from God's love and nothing else, and Him choosing us. This is one of my favorite verses in my anchor verse, because when I get off track, I can do a pulse. I can do a pulse check, right? I can think, all right, Kyrie, where are you at? Where am I working from? Or where the group, when the group that I'm leading on campus is off track, we're not sharing our faith, we're not as evangelistic, we're not loving people, right? It's time for a pulse check, because it's usually our faith, our hope, our love that's off track, right? So after the pulse check, things get back in line, right? The call to grace, oh my God, Bible studies are back up. The group is filled everyone's reaching out saying, when can we go share our faith together? The evangelistic efforts are high. We are loving and serving people, and it's a beautiful thing to see. It really, really is. And not because of how great we are, but because we labor for the gospel, which is prompted by God's love for us. And we can endure because we know for a fact what we face on earth, that Jesus is coming back for us one day, right? That's what this passage is saying. Family, we are loved. You are deeply loved. This scripture tells us that, right? This scripture shows us that we are loved. And this scripture can be our story too. And my prayer is that it will be. I want to ask you the same question that I asked you earlier. Where do you get your motivation from? Do you get your motivation from what you do or who you belong to? Think about this. Paul arrested Christians, right? He murdered them, and yet Jesus still chose Paul. He loved Paul. He wanted to use Paul. And this dude, in a human sense, like he says in 1 Timothy, he was the worst of all sinners. But he didn't have a pity party about that. He didn't let Satan hold that over his head instead, right? Paul, being so in awe of God's love, so in awe of God's grace, it changed the trajectory of Paul's life. I want you guys to imagine this for a second. Imagine each and every one of you are college students, right? On the road, driving, and maybe you had a little bit too much to drink, right? Or maybe you're just on your phone texting, you shouldn't be, not paying attention. And you're just driving in your car, heading back to your place, and you hit something really hard. And you have no idea what it is. You get out of the car, and your heart is racing, you're panicked, right? You're like holding your head, you walk over and you realize that it's a human being, right? And that you just struck a young boy, right? And you sit there, you start, what am I gonna do? You call your parents, then you call the cops come, the family comes, you see the mom and the dad come, and they start weeping over their child, right? And you watch that. And then you're sitting there like, I'm going to jail, all right? I'm never gonna have a future, I'm gonna be arrested. Then the father comes over to you from the other family and you start trembling. And that father comes up to you and he walks up to you in your personal space and he grabs your shoulder and he says, look, it's true, you killed our boy. You took our child from us. We'll never have him again. But guess what? Everything we were going to give our son, we want to give to you. We actually want you to come live with us. We want you to have his room. We want you to have his college fund. Everything that we saved up for him, we're going to give to you, right? We're going to love you the way that we would love, the way that we were going to love our son. Think about that for a second. That completely blows your mind, right? But guess what? That's exactly what Jesus did for us, right? That's exactly what we did. We killed Jesus, or we killed God's son, but God came and adopted us into his family, right? He came and took us in. Imagine that kind of love, knowing, right, that you owe such a debt. You would work hard. You would be the best son or best daughter for that family, right? You naturally would be an amazing son and daughter. You would do everything. You would obey everything they asked you to do. Because that's what God did for us, though. That is you. That's exactly what God did for us. Jesus, in our place, he affirmed us. He loved us. He called us, right, because he believed in us. So the excuse that you can't do this or that you aren't good enough ended when God chose you. God has called you out of his love. And this is a fact. And this call is for everyone, right? God says, I want you, I love you. And not only do I love you, I like you, I'm crazy about you, and I want to spend my life with you. That's what God says to us. Just to share for a moment, I am naturally a very guilty soul. Anyone else out there can relate? Yeah. Very guilty soul, I have a hard time believing that God loved me first. My relationship with my dad growing up made me feel like I had to earn his love, I had to earn his time. I felt like I needed to do good things for him to spend time with me, like I was just a schedule on his appointment book, right? So when he walked out on us, I blamed myself. Like, this is my fault. I should have been a better son. I should have, what could I have done better to fix that, right? But that was a lie. It wasn't my fault. So naturally, though, as a disciple, I brought that into my relationship with God. In my first few months as a Christian, when I messed up, I thought I'd blown it with God, and I thought that God would walk out on me just like my dad did, or that God would come down and hit the hammer down on me and, you're horrible, right, and say all these things, right? And I am so grateful for the brothers in my life who said, bro, you need to study out grace. You need to get in the scriptures and understand God's love for you. And so I did, and it changed me. It really did. It changed me. It changed the way that I thought. Right. And now I'm like, Kyrie, it's not about doing things so that God loves me. It's about God's crazy eternal love that moves me to work, right, to work hard. I remember feeling free once I really understood that truth. Right. This is the formula I used to live by. Work hard, do share faith, Bible studies, read my Bible every day. Then God loves me. Right. But this is not God's plan, and that's not the type of love that God wants or the type of relationship that he desires with us, right? It's not that I live well and perform so that I will be found worthy and loved by God, but it's, wait, what? I am worthy, right? I am called. I am loved by God. And with overwhelming gratitude, then I go out and I do these things. So now we can be radical and fight sin, right? I can love one another. I can love other people deeply, right? I can go out and I can share my faith, endure persecution, and pick up my cross daily and pursue absolute purity. Living a radically different life than we used to in the world. Why? Because I've been called and lavished with the love and grace of God that I did not deserve. And that should move your heart. That should move you to change. That should move you to repent. That should move you to think differently, right? Every morning I wake up feeling like one of the most important men, and not because of anything that I've done, but because of God, right? I wake up every morning feeling like, wow, I cannot believe that I am so loved by God this way, right? There's things that I've done in my life that I am not proud of. There's things that I'm very ashamed of. But then I'm always called back to the powerful facts that none of those things are no longer my identity, right? Jesus is. And because of that, this isn't about my perfection, about my performance. It's about God's immense love for me, and it's about Jesus. I wanna show you guys, right, the scriptures is full of, especially the New Testament, right, what we now are in Christ. I want you guys to look at this list on the screen that talks about, right, who we are. Listen to these words. This list says that we have been chosen, we've been adopted, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, we are forgiven, we are loved, we are covered, received grace upon grace, co-heirs with Christ, seated in the heavenly realms with Christ, God's children, God's handiwork, Jesus himself, holy and blameless, every spiritual blessing made a little lower than the angels. Church, this is who you are. This is a fact. This is true. And if you're studying the Bible and you're visiting with us, this is who God is calling you to be, right? This call is for you too. For your whole life, God has been setting up the perfect time and opportunity for you to answer this call. Then what are you going to do about it, right? Are you going to answer that call, or are you going to let the phone keep ringing? And church, Jesus is still calling us today, every day, to grow deeper in his love. Are you answering that call? Are you letting the free, the wide, deep of Christ change your love and actions and motivate you daily? I truly believe that understanding the gift of God's grace and his love is top priority. Paul got it and he ran with it, and it allowed him to have an incredible life, right? An incredible missional heart for people and for God's kingdom. And the truth is if we miss God's love and grace, then we miss it all. Church, let's make sure that we don't miss anything, right? Let's be motivated by the grace of God so that we can live extraordinary life doing extraordinary things with our master, our best friend, our big brother, Jesus, right? Amen. Vinny is going to come up and he's going to talk about how we can practically put this into action. To God be the glory. Thank you for letting me share.
Hello there, everybody. Yeah, like Steve said before, my name is Vinny, for those of you who don't know me. So I'm a student at William Patterson University, so I'm a senior there, and I'm going for my, degree in graphic design, and I lead the kind of the group there. So if you've got kids going to college, send them to Willie Peak. It's the place to be right now. But yeah, super excited to be sharing with you guys. Thanks to Kyrie again for just sharing that awesome message just about God's grace. You know, we just can't talk about this stuff enough. You know, God's grace is really, you know, it's everything. This is, you know, if you think of like the tree of discipleship, this is like the trunk that everything branches off of. But, you know, as important, you know, we need to always remember grace. But at the end of the day, grace is, it's calling for a response at the end of the day. You know, we're called to respond to it. And the Bible's really clear on, you know, what does God want that response to be? Why did he do this in the first place? Why did Jesus go to the cross? And so, if you want to turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 14 real quick. So, starting in verse 11, it says, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, so we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." You know, Jesus has an incredible amount of love for every one of you in here. You know, he died for you, and he, you know, he, like I said, he clearly demonstrated that love for us on the cross, you know, the greatest way possible. He gave his life for us, and he lived for us. But why did he do that? You know, what is the response that we're called to have? Ultimately, we're called to just give our lives to Jesus. You know, we're called to just really sacrifice everything that we have for him. And because of the grace that he's shown us, that he would just, you know, go to the cross, that he would die, even though all we've ever done is just sin and deserve death ourselves. That he would just, you know, be willing to go out of his way to do that for us. And so, you know, God's grace is, it's the great motivator that we have as disciples. It needs to be the core of everything. And now, what does it motivate us to do? One of the things we see here in, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 is it just, you know, it motivates us to be bold, to just live bold lives for God. You know, when we have a grace-focused mentality, it opens up the door for us to just, you know, go out and just do radical things that we really wouldn't be doing if we didn't have that motivation. You know, there'd be no reason for it. You know, in verse 13, it says, if we are out of our minds, it is for God at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, Paul, more than anyone else, had just a super strong connection to God's grace. You know, like Kyrie shared, he went from being this guy who was going out, he was killing Christians just, you know, left and right. And then now he's taken from that life. Now he's a Christian himself, out making more disciples, and he's completely forgiven of everything that he was just doing. Yeah. You know, he really connected with that, and that just blew his mind up. He just couldn't believe that just 180 that happened. And it wasn't because of anything he did. It was just because Jesus had so much love for him that he was willing to do that. And, you know, because of that, because of how connected he was to that he didn't care about his appearance at all. You know, he was aware of how he looked to other people. He knew other people saw him as this, you know, crazy guy and that he was out of his mind. But he just saw things from a different perspective. Like Kyrie said, he had this lens of grace that he put over everything. You know, he was a disciple reconciled by God's grace. And so he didn't care about his own life or his own appearance. But instead, he could be solely focused on just, you know, how can I live for God today? And what would that look like? And that meant a lot of times just being bold, doing the things that, you know, other people aren't doing, and that, you know, that might sometimes come across as crazy to people or just weird to people. And so if you keep reading the next verse in 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about just being careful not to see others from, you know, don't regard others from a worldly perspective. But we need to be equally careful about, you know, viewing ourselves from a worldly perspective too. Because, you know, you're no longer that worldly man or woman that you were, you know, beforehand. When you were in your sin and everything, you've been saved, you've been reconciled, you're a new creation. And so, you know, we were people who live in the world, yes, we live in, you know, the world we live in. But we live in the spiritual world with Jesus and with God right now, too. You know, God reconciled you, and in his eyes right now, you're already seated right next to Jesus in heaven. For all intents and purposes, you're already there. And so if that's the case, that's the reality of our situation, is we're already as good as in heaven right now if you're a disciple. Then what is it that we're afraid of not going out and being bold and doing these things? You know, what's holding us back? Instead, we need to just, you know, really connect with that, really view ourselves in that, you know, from God's perspective, and just go out and just be bold to do the things that we wouldn't normally do, to go out and, you know, invite those friends that you've been wanting to for a while, or to, you know, go just share like a madman on campus or at like the mall or whatever you have near you, to share with a guy, you know, giving you gas who looks kind of, you know, kind of shifty. Everybody, just share with them all. Because we need to be people who go out and we do bold things for God. You know, then God's love compels us. And really, you know, ultimately the goal of being a disciple is to, you know, be like Jesus. He's our finish line at the end of the day. And to do that, ultimately what that means, Jesus lived a life of just servitude and ultimately just a life of love. And so the ultimate goal for us as disciples is to just love people as well. You know, we need to be people who are filled with love. This needs to be a defining trait of the church, that people come here and the first thing that they notice is just, yo, these people just love everybody. You know, they just see that compassion and that spirit that we have of just, you know, that just, it's Jesus at the end of the day. You know, Jesus' thing was he made people feel loved. He made people feel cared for and seen. And as disciples, this is our mission too. This is what should define us, is we need to be outwardly focused and to make the people around us feel that love of Jesus. You know, when we stop seeing people from that worldly perspective and start seeing them from God's perspective, the only response that really makes sense that we could even, you know, justifiably have is just an attitude of compassion and of love for them. You know, no other response really, you know, makes sense considering where we come from and what we have in God and the grace that we've been shown. And so, you know, a great example, he's not here today, he's on vacation, but a great example of these two things, just being bold and just being loving, is Mark Persing. You know, almost all of you know him. And, you know, without him, I wouldn't really be standing here at all. Because, you know, a while ago, Mark was on campus at William Patterson, just sharing his faith, inviting people to Bible talk, doing all that stuff. And, you know, I was going to Robinger Hall, he was coming away from it. And, you know, he was originally, you know, we were walking towards each other. He was on the right side. I was on the left side. And, you know, he came up to me. He was trying to, you know, I could tell he was trying to talk to me. You know, he's on the other side. He just beelined it right to me, full eye contact, all of that stuff. You know, you could tell he wanted to tell me something. He was coming up to me. But then right when he got up to me, he veered off and just kept going. And I noticed that, you know, I realized that thing. But yeah, he just kept walking, but he decided, you know, he just kind of worked up some courage. He just kind of reflected on just like, you know, what am I doing right now? And he decided, he turned around, called up to me, stopped me, and invited me out to Bible talk. I was down, so I started coming out. So one thing led to another, started coming out, started studying the Bible, and I didn't really know what I was getting into at that point, but those Bible studies, just like the most life-changing thing I'd ever done. You know, I grew up going to church and everything, but I never really realized, you know, just how much more it is than just going to church and just kind of doing all this stuff. You know, there's like a lifestyle that's behind it. And so, and I wanted that lifestyle, so went after it, kept studying with him. And December 16th, 2.5 years ago, I was baptized into Christ and got saved. But that's not the end of it either, because, you know, seeing his boldness and his love for me and all that stuff, you know, that just inspired me to go out, and that inspired me to share with, you know, a couple of my friends too that I grew up going to church with. And, you know, that was a hard time too, because, you know, there was just a lot of fear there that came along with that of just, you know, what if they say no? Or worse, what if they do decide to study the Bible? You know, they decide to say yes, but then when push comes to shove, they decide, you know, they don't want to make Jesus Lord. And now there's just that, you know, that gap in between me and them that, you know, wasn't there before. Now it's just in plain sight. And, you know, what would that do to our relationship? But, you know, I remembered Mark's love for me, and that he decided, you know, he walked past me. He decided he had enough love to just, you know, overcome that fear, to turn around and to chase me down, which requires, you know, you need more boldness to chase somebody down after you walk by them than just walking up to them. Yeah, but it's like, you know, he did that for me. I just studied out all of this stuff about Jesus and his grace for me. You know, all this new stuff I just learned. Who am I not to share with these guys? And so I shared with them, both of them. Just, you know, they were down to study the Bible and to come out to stuff. And now, you know, Josh DiMatulak and Josh Silva are your brothers. So, you know, they decided to go for it. And both of them are doing awesome things. They lead the group up in CCM right now. And they've just been super fruitful, just studying with tons of people. They've seen people get baptized as well. And, you know, it's just been awesome seeing what God has done from that. But all of that started with just Mark, just being bold, being loving, and just deciding to, despite the fear and despite the awkwardness, to just be bold and to just invite me out, to chase me down. You know, he walked past me at first, and I've done that to so many people on campus. Just, you know, I want to share with you, but then I walk up to you and I just keep walking. And I think, you know, we've all been there where it's just like we feel that urge to share with somebody, but we just keep going. But that's when we really need to focus on, you know, grace, the grace that God's had for us in God's perspective, and just try and see the world like he does and just be bold. You know, we need to live bold lives, lives filled with love. And ultimately, really, God just wants, you know, the reason we have God's grace, what he wants to motivate us to do is to just, you know, just live our lives wholeheartedly for him, to just be our best for God. And so I'll turn over to Colossians 3, 23 to 24. So starting in verse, you know, 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your hearts as if working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And so, you know, it says whatever you're doing. So really, what does that mean? God just wants you to follow him with everything that you've got, to sacrifice everything for him. And really, you know, evangelism, it's an important way that we need to do. We bring glory to God and that we bring people to him. We need to be doing that. It's part of our discipleship. But just, you know, just as important to bringing glory to God is just, you know, what does your life look like? What are you giving to him? You know, we need to, our lives bring Jesus glory as well. And so, you know, God wants you to live your life for him, work wholeheartedly for him in whatever you do, wherever you are. God wants you to be the best that you can be. So that means, you know, he wants you to be, you know, whatever you are. You know, for me, for a bunch of us in here, it means, you know, he wants us to be the best student we can be, the best employee you can be, the best employer you can be for whoever your employees are. He wants you to be the best father you can be, the best mother you can be, this brother, sister, disciple. Whatever you are, God wants you to be the best at it and to just, you know, devote that to him and just really look at it from his perspective. How can I bring glory to God through this? And he wants us to work not for, you know, human masters or for the people around us, but instead work for God and work for Jesus and what he did for us. And just, you know, just reflecting on it, are you living that way? And can you say that about your life right now? You know, are you giving everything that you have to God and just, you know, devoting your wills to him? Or are you working for human masters instead? So, you know, don't underestimate the impact that your life can have and that living for Jesus can have on the people around you. You know, people see the difference in us when we really go out of our way and we're living just boldly and living in love. Because, you know, the world isn't a very loving place in general. So that just really stands out. We are a light to those people. You know, God calls, you know, we need to, and God calls for people to just simply live for him and to give everything they have. And so let's just be people who just give everything to God and just devote everything we have to him. You know, we're called to do a lot of things and to be a lot of things for a lot of people. We're called to be bold, just love people, and to be outwardly focused. We're called to do a lot. And it can be really challenging and daunting at times. You know, there's a lot on our plate. But the thing that gets us there, the thing that motivates us to get those things done at the end of the day is just, you know, it's Jesus. It's the cross. It's grace. And so we need to do those things for Jesus because, you know, Jesus was gracious enough to die for us and for our sins when we were at our worst. And then, you know, we're right up there with, like I said, we're right up there with God right now. For all intents and purposes, you're sitting right next to Jesus right now. And so we just really need to connect with that and use that to compel us to move forward and to do these things, to love those people and to just be our best for God. And so go out and do that and just dedicate everything that you have to God, because at the end of the day, that's the most fulfilling thing that we can do. And that's the thing that's going to bring God the most glory. Amen. So yeah, just, you know, go after just really connecting with God's grace and just making that your motivation this summer and just, you know, the rest of your discipleship, really. That needs to be the core of everything. Amen? Yeah, so thank you, guys. That's it. To God be the glory. Amen.